Welcome to another episode of Sisters in Conversation. I'm your host, Tebello Motshwane. I'm an attorney by profession and the founder of a platform called Sister in Law, which is a platform dedicated to empowering women through legal education. On today's episode, I'm joined by Livuani Musecho. Livuani, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for accepting with so much enthusiasm. But like I said to you when we were offline, no one has ever said no. Yeah. So you would have been the first. So congratulations.
Actually, at first, I thought it was a scam. So I almost didn't respond because, when I got an email, I was like, nah. And then I clicked on the link. And then I abandoned it because I'm like, yo, they say click on the link. And then I was like, let me just respond. Let's see. So, thank you for letting me see.
No, but I thought you were going to be irritated because I sent you a message on X and then you didn't respond for like, 2-3 days, then I sent you an email. I still didn't get a response. Then I went on your website and I got the WhatsApp number. Then I'm like, can you? And then I sent you a text message, actually. I'm like, can you please? I was like, yo, I'm sure she's going to be like, who the hell is this hounding me down?
I've abandoned X.
Oh, why?
No, I actually wanted to write exams, conveyancing, and notary. So that place you can get swallowed up. So
a rabbit hole, entertaining everything.
Sometimes it's a bit too much. So okay. Yes.
All right. So I think let's start at the very, very beginning. Can you take us through a journey? Let's start from who are you? Where were you born and raised? How many siblings do you have? Tell us a little bit about your childhood, Livuani.
Okay. So I was born in Venda. Raised there, so I grew up there up until matric. I'm the only child.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, I was raised by my mom, single parent. So I went to primary, high school back in Venda. But in my childhood, what I learned a lot was from my mom. Strong, powerful woman. And I remember at the earliest age, you know, she was a nurse. So I had to learn independence because, you know, nurses, they work 7 days seven days out.
So those 7 days you are manning the house.
Yeah. So I literally would have a key. So she would a key around my neck.
From a young age,
neck? Yes, for maybe grade two or grade three. Yeah, I put it in my uniform and I go to school. When I come back, I'm the one who's responsible for
the household.
Yeah. Making sure I come back.
Okay, yeah, fine. Times have
changed. I think my only job was to wash socks at some point and that type of
thing. And feed yourself.
Yes, and feed myself. Yeah. Yeah, there will be food and everything.
I'm sure you were not trying to cook. It was probably just bread.
No. Everything would be ready. It's yes. Everything would be ready, but it's just a matter of, okay, fine, I'm coming from school, so then I need something to eat and there would be something to eat. And also what it did is, like you're saying, times have changed because my primary school was far, probably some 20 kilometers away, and we used to walk. It was safe. Nothing was going to happen to you. So on our way back from school, there was a community library. So then from school, hop into the library, you know, you grab a book, and then at a later stage, you return it. So it created a love for reading.
Oh, I love it.
Young age. Because I think I grew up in Makwari. It's a small location in Venda. So there wasn't much activities and whatnot going on. So we used the library as our refuge place.
So coming from a small village where I can imagine that access to information and things like, you know, outside of nursing, policing, outside of maybe, you know, possibly being a teacher, how did you get exposure into, you know, you started off as a flight attendant and no one really comes and, you know, to Venda, a small town, and tells you about what it's like being a flight attendant. How did you get exposure to that kind of information, and why did you then also decide to leave the comfort or the only life you knew with just you and your mom to then go pursue your studies in Cape Town?
So after I matriculated in 1997. Sounds so ancient.
I'm just like...
Yes.
1997. Okay, so when I was in grade two, you were matriculating.
Yes.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah. So matriculated, I applied for UCT. And actually, it was the only institution that I'd applied to. I wanted to study psychology then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 1 point short.
You.
Yeah. So I couldn't get into the program. Now I had to do something else. Mm. So what they would do is they will accept you. And then when you now registration and whatnot, that's where now you can select and apply into the different sections, right? Mm. So, yeah. So then I did that for first year, and I don't want to lie, it was being away from home. It was exciting. It was also scary.
Mm.
And when I moved to Cape Town, I didn't even have accommodation.
Yeah. And so, did your mom know this? Like, what was the conversation like?
She knew. What happened was I had found a place off campus. But it was going to be expensive, and mom was like, hey, I can't afford it.
Mm.
So literally, you just take a risk.
Because you're like, I want to go no matter what.
Like the furthest point from home,
oh,
funny.
My goodness.
So luckily there was a guy that I knew from the same church and from the same area.
Mm.
So he was already at UCT. There were other people that I knew there.
Mm.
So when I arrived, then he was the one who picked me up, and then he literally asked, because then I didn't have accommodation.
So you hadn't even told him? Yes.
Yes, he knew I was coming.
But he didn't know the story.
When I got there, yes, I explained that, no, my accommodation, I found the off-campus place, but it fell through when I got there. So now, homeless. And it's funny because we see this a lot lately. Like, you know, students get to campus, they're homeless. And we've been through that as well. You're homeless, you're far away. What do you do? Literally, he's the one who went and asked some of his female friends if they can accommodate me. So now...
And they did.
They did. Now you're squatting.
From homeless to squatting.
Yes. So it kind of makes you grow up very fast. So you're like, okay, new place, but now you're faced with one challenge after the other. Then it was, I think I stayed about a week on campus, and then you just keep going to student accommodation and whatnot. Eventually, I got a place. But even in that situation, the nice thing is it created, now I had new friends.
Yes.
So I learned to, you know, adapted quickly. Now you're making new friends, and because you're younger, they're older, you know, they take care of you and they look out for you, that type of thing. So yeah, moved to Cape Town, did first year was okay-ish. Second year was hard. So my second year completely flunked.
Sure.
Flunked it. I was academically and financially excluded at the end of that year. Yes.
What was happening? What was happening in second year?
I think more work.
Mm.
When you're coming from village, like you say, right? It's a huge adjustment.
Absolutely.
The pace is different. The books are this big. So everything about it was a lot. So flunked second year. Then what I did was, now I had to appeal. So I had to write a letter explaining.
Do you still remember
this,
what you said?
This. No. I was just begging, just give me a chance. Please, please. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. But then in that, then I changed
courses.
Mm. Yes. And then that's where I went into arts, and I was doing dancing.
Mm.
So I majored in African dance, which I absolutely loved.
Mm.
And yeah, then that's where I ended up completing my studies with UCT.
Okay. And how did you then get to working as a flight attendant?
Okay. So when I finished UCT, actually during the time when I was still at UCT, I took up a lot of jobs.
Mm.
You know, mom didn't have enough money. I remember one of the adjustments that hits your heart is you are now back home. you are with your circle of friends, you know each other, you know each other's financial standing, and everybody all more or less in equal footing. When you get there, people are in different footings, you know. So then you have friends who, they have money, their families are rich, and they're wearing labels, they are wearing, you know, designer clothes, and all of
And they're going
things.
On real holiday, like...
Yeah.
Others they are have going cars. On vacation.
Yes, yeah. Others have cars. Mm. And I remember all my mom could afford as pocket money was 200 rand.
Mm.
And she was like, no, you know what? This is what I can afford. Mm. You are staying at campus. You have 3 meals, you know, on your package. So what more do you can you do?
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, you're young. You also don't want to be stuck now, you know, be miserable and everything. My friends and I, we started looking for weekend jobs. So worked at retail, different retails. I remember one of them, they were paying us like 4 rand an hour.
Okay, but kind of you also from a different time, because I remember when I started retail, it was 13 rand 50.
So you guys were bowling. So no, we were literally 4 rand an hour, and then you get some percentage, if I'm not mistaken, if you sell something.
Oh, like the commission structure of sorts.
But what we do is, it was a Saturday, Sunday, so we'd be like, my friend and I, you know, we're still friends now. And we're like, okay, we go, we work 4 or 5 hours, we get whatever money, we go buy ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, it's just for indulgence purposes.
Go buy the ice cream with the flake.
Yes.
Because you're know, working with like
there was frozen yogurt. There was a very popular, you know, what is it? Marcel's frozen yogurt. So we went to, no, please, we were more upmarket.
You were working women.
No, we were working women, please. So, yeah. So that built a spirit of working, work ethics. It doesn't matter what it is, what the bottom line was. You get up, you go work, you get your own money.
Man.
You are independent. Yeah. You are not. You know, you're not annoying parents like, hey, you know. Then you also, it moves you from comparing yourself with other people, with those ones who
makes
are get
independent. Yes. Absolutely.
Then, so that was that. I worked there. Then I also worked at the library, UCTS various library. I worked at the main campus library. I worked at the architecture library. And then at some point, I also worked at the Baxter Theatre. So, I mean, I was making my coins, you know. And then ultimately, I met this other girl there. She was working in a restaurant in town. They've changed the name now. It used to be called Kennedy's. It was a cigar lounge and a restaurant. So she was selling cigars there. So she's like, yeah, would you be interested in... You know, and coming to work, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about cigars. She's like, nah, just come. I went there, they trained me, so I started selling cigars. So when I graduated, now I still had Kennedy's job. So then that's where I was working. So while I was there one evening, and then this lady came and she, I was serving them and whatnot, and she asked, would you like to be a flight attendant? And I think at that point, I'd been on an aeroplane once.
The first time you went to UCT?
No, like... it wasn't the first time. I had a friend who had booked a flight, and then she wasn't able to use it. And then, we changed names, and then I used her ticket. So that was the only time. Even in that, I was sitting, they put me at the overwing exit.
Yeah.
And then they came, and then they were explaining. I was just like, okay. I had no clue what she had said.
I know what you mean.
Yes. So that's how I ended up. She said, no, bring in your CV. This is where I'm staying. So I took the CV. And then a few weeks later, I was called. And then I went. So the process with being a flight attendant is the first thing they do height and weight. So they do your BMI. If you're too short, sorry. You're too tall. Sorry, your weight is not together. Sorry. So we passed that stage. From there, they load us in a bus You're going swimming.
You didn't think. You didn't think any part. At no point did you think this could be a scam. I could end up in a container. Like,
no, look. Back in the day, you know, things were easy, man. That's so true. I think it's now where everything is so scary. Yo. Like, you don't know what to trust now. Like, I was even scared of your email.
That's so true.
Yes. Mm. So that's where we went to the pool. I think I was, 24 at that time. And I had just started taking swimming lessons.
Before this job.
So it was just a coincidence. Mm. I used to gym at Greenpoint, and then I was taking swimming lessons. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this. I can swim. Get to the pool. I have flu. So you know what? I don't know. Like, I have flu. I jump in, and then that life jacket comes and is choking me.
Yay!
So the rule is you need to swim from one point to another, right?
Uh-huh.
Without touching the wall. When you touch the wall, that's it. You're dismissed. It's finished. So now I come up from the water. I can't breathe because now flu, my nose are congested, and I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And I touch the wall, and then they're like, out of the water. That's it. I'm like, no, but I can swim. I try to explain this. Your process ends here. Devastated, because at that time I'm not working. I'm waitressing at different restaurants.
Mm.
So it's like, this dream ended. It's just ended. I try to appeal. I try to, you know, I even call that lady. I'm like, no, come but on, this is please. What happened. Yes. You know what? I can swim and whatever. So they're like, okay, fine. Send us a letter from your instructor. You know,
the swimming instructor,
right? So we wrote a letter, we sent it. Weeks go by, nothing. Then they were recruiting again. Now they called me again. This time around, I knew, come rain or high
come
water.
Come flu, come whatever.
Listen, I will die in that flu.
Okay, I love the fighting spirit.
I will die in that pool if it needs be. Because sometimes you get so stuck along the way. Because at that point, I really didn't see a future. I didn't know what I was going to do. Graduation to the time I started SAA, it was a period of 18 months.
Mm.
So in that period, my mom has said, come home.
And you're just like not trying to go back.
I really thought about it and I thought, you know what? Being in Venda, it's a far from everything. If they call me tomorrow, say you have an interview, right?
Where will you start?
Yes, if they say 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, come for an interview. How am I going to be? Even if it's just Joburg.
Even if it's just Joburg, hey?
Yes, by 9 a.m. So it kind of removes everything. Then you literally now on, I have to make this work.
Yo.
Where I am right now, I'm stuck in this place. But while I'm here, I will make it work regardless. Mm. So I was a waitress.
But now when you're a waitress, where are you staying? Still with your friends?
I got an apartment. I was staying in a, what do they call it? In a bachelor flat, so at Seapoint. So I had a bachelor flat there.
And the waitressing money was able to sustain you?
Yes.
Okay.
So cheap, but not on this economy. Yeah. But even that, so you literally have to make sure. So you're working firstly for rent money, so you must make sure you get rent money. Then from rent money, then you must make sure you have
food money,
you have
transport,
food and you have all of those things. But yeah, some places it was good. When I was selling cigars, it was good money. I worked at the waterfront, and customers loved me. So. Yeah.
So all of that hustling was way better than it would have been if you went back home. Like, home was just not an option because that was going to be just even further out. It was going to be longer than 18 months, Mus.
Yeah, if I had gone home, I honestly felt that that was going to be the end.
Mm.
Because there's not a lot of opportunities there. So what do you do?
Sure.
And when you are in a city, it's a bit easier.
I mean,
I survived. I waitressed. I survived. It was not easy, but I made it.
And I feel like these jobs kept coming to you. Someone says, come sell cigars. Someone says, come be a flight attendant. Like,
I guess God was looking out.
Exactly. So yeah. The second time, come hell or high water, you passed that swimming part.
Yeah, no, I passed flying colors. Yeah. I was not hearing it.
Yeah.
Then from there, they start training. So flight attendant training is intense.
Mm.
And people think, these guys, beef or coffee. What is this, chicken or beef? Chicken or beef, you know? Because it was 8 weeks of training. So now you sign a training contract, which states the pass mark is 90%.
Mm.
90. So you either get one or you get two wrong. If you get 89... your contract gets terminated, and then that's it. There were a lot of people. It was heartbreaking because they would teach you new stuff today. Tomorrow, you're writing an exam. Mm. You must get 90, right? And then people literally, some people had resigned from their jobs because...
To do the 8 weeks.
To do this thing, yes. And then I remember this other lady. It was, you know what, we couldn't believe. She got 89. And then you just never come back to class. So people, you write, and then you take a tea break. From 10 o'clock, you're going back to class, and then people just don't come back to class.
Why? Because they would have gotten the 89.
Yes.
Oh.
And that's it. Then they terminate your contract immediately, and you're going home. That's it. That's
cut
the end.
Throat.
Yes, that's the end of it.
So what does the training entail? Like, just if somebody's listening and they're like, you know what?
They want to be a flight attendant.
Yeah, they're just in a season where... things are not going their way, and they didn't even think that there's this flight attendant route that exists out there.
Yeah. So we start with safety stuff. So it's different components.
Mm-hmm.
So you do your safety training, safety general training, and then there's also medical, because now there's people in the aircraft, people get sick, people die, people have heart attacks, there's a whole lot of things. So you're trained to be able to manage. If someone's having a heart attack, what do you do? If someone is unconscious, what do you do? So you kind of, you know how to do CPR.
Mm.
So you're like a nurse/doctor on board type of thing, right? If there isn't a medical personnel on board who can assist,
you have to know the basics.
We are able to make sure that this person, you know, I mean, death is beyond our control.
Absolutely.
But we do everything that we can to make sure that this person, and there's been people who've had heart attacks and whatever, and CPR, and then they come back.
That sounds scary.
Yes.
Oh.
It is very intense. I think one time somebody pressed a call bell. I'm hearing this call bell. And when I get there, literally this man was rolling his eyes backwards.
Oh my goodness.
It's in the middle of the night. And yeah, it's a very scary thing. And
obviously now you must also manage the other passengers.
So you can't cause havoc because everybody panics and all of
and
this.
So, you don't, yeah.
Yes. You know what? Personally, I would recommend to young people, if you can, do it.
Mm.
If there is an opportunity, I know there's a lot of international airlines that recruit. It builds a lot of self-esteem. You know, you become well-spoken, the way you carry yourself and all of those things. Because when you're a flight attendant, you're dealing with a whole lot of people from different walks of life.
Literally.
Yes.
I can't think of any other place where... there are just so many people, you know, from everywhere.
From everywhere. Mm. So from presidents to CEOs to MPs to...
to backpackers.
To backpackers, to the gogo who's never flown.
Oh, my goodness.
Petrified. Mommy is flying in. I mean, there was once this lady was flying in with, I think, a week-year-old baby or something.
Mm.
And, you know, you learn so much to be kind.
Compassionate.
Mm. Yes. Your emotional intelligence rises to...
absolutely.
Up to the astronomer. Because you need to be able to manage each person within that scope. So if I'm going to speak to a president, right, then I need to be to deal with him accordingly. If there's a prince from some European country, I need to be able to. If it's Gogo who's carrying 20, 11 plastic bags and, oh, my child and what, I need to be able to relate to her on that level. Mm. If it's a child that's traveling alone, I need to be able to, to comfort that child, to make sure that he's okay, or he or her, she's okay, and all of those things. And in the meantime, you have to manage everybody on board.
Sure.
So, yeah. So that's the training. And then you do firefighting as well. There's another component. You do dangerous goods. Because then we travel with a lot of, dangerous goods. And then, security as well. Mm. Airport securities and, it's called aviation security. I'm not sure if I'm forgetting anything. So, once that's done, when you complete, and then you have a little ceremony, and then, you're a flight attendant.
I think that's incredible, because at the beginning you said that when the person approached you and said, don't you want to be a flight attendant? You'd only been on an aeroplane once.
Yeah.
And then you then pretty much get into the program, get the job, and then you're in it for 16 years.
I was firstly a flight attendant for 11 years.
Mm.
And then I loved it.
Was it international trips?
Yes, it was domestic and international. Mm. I absolutely loved it.
Mm.
And I think everybody, and people don't get it. Like there's something so liberating, and it's a powerful job to have.
Mm.
After 11 years, then I was like, okay, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, because you've just been on the move for 11 years.
The sad part is you are never home. So people don't invite you to things.
Ugh.
Because they're like, yeah, you're not here anyway. So some of them, you see they just our weddings
on Facebook.
They just don't want to invite you. Then the excuse is, no, I thought you wouldn't be around. Thank you. First problem right
must
there.
Must ask thinking.
Me. Yes.
Okay.
So you miss out on a lot of family stuff. There's a funeral, you can't make it. And then sometimes people also think that you're just making excuses, then you don't attend people's things.
Hey.
Then they take it personally. Our people. Yeah, no, they take it personally. Yeah. So that's where in you lose out.
Mm.
But the international exposure is incredible.
Mm.
Then from there, I became, while I was still there, I studied, I did postgraduate in business management.
Mm.
And then because I was like, okay, you know what? I'm feeling a bit stuck.
Mm.
It's been long. And it's tiring, packing and leaving.
You were getting cabin fever.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I want to do something else. And actually at that time I was like, nah, I'm leaving. I was like, okay, let me do something because me and I'm good. Yo,
khatetsi, I can imagine though. It is such a busy job.
It is.
Constantly
traveling. Constantly packing.
You're constantly packing.
Yes.
At some point one should... You or will that crave that stability. Yeah.
Yes.
And 10 years is a good time to make that decision.
Yes, so it was that. And then it revived me actually doing that.
The business management.
Mm. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I looked at the business. So I kind of shifted from looking at the business as from an employee. When you're an employee, we complain a lot, right? We see everything wrong. Everything. Oh, these people. Oh, you know, that type of thing. So what it did for me is I started looking at if this was my business, right? So my approach changed.
Mm.
And then even in that, then they were recruiting for senior cabin attendants. So then I applied and then I got the position.
And your business management helped.
Yes, absolutely. Because the way I engaged in that interview, it was more from a leadership. I think.
Oh, love it.
Yes, because now I'm no longer thinking of me as a. But employee. I'm thinking, if I'm in charge of this aircraft, what would happen?
Mm.
That is how now I'm approaching the interview, and that's how now I'm coming across.
Mm.
Now you are saying, you know, things like, I'll be leading from the front. Now you sound very smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whereas instead of just going there and so for me, I really felt that costs, yeah.
It helps. Okay, that's great.
Absolutely.
So then you get promoted.
So then I became promoted. Then, I'm a senior flight attendant.
More different is that role? Like, what do you then get to do?
What you get to do is you are now in charge of the aeroplane.
Yeah, boss song.
Yes, boss lady. Now, the pressure is more because it's the customers, it's your team, it's the pilots, it's the ground staff as well. Mm. When the aircraft is late, it's on you.
Mm.
Why is it late? So you're the one who's accountable to everyone.
Mm.
And you need to make sure that everything is running smoothly. Everyone is on board on time. Everyone leaves on time. Aeroplane doors closes on time.
Mm.
And then while on board, now when there's an issue, they call you. Now you're the one who must go and say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Mm.
No, however, whatever, whatever. Mm. And in that period, our national carrier was going through a lot.
Yo.
So there was a lot for a senior because now, you know, but even in that, you still need to deal with your customers, right? The fact that you're having domestic issues doesn't mean now it must come out.
Yo.
There. So you must still manage them as well. And you must still retain them to come back.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And then let's now talk about why you are here.
Okay, just before that.
Yeah.
Then from there, I became, I was tired. I was like, okay, nah,
if I pack
my bag one more time, I will die. Then that's when I moved. I became a facilitator, a trainer. So I used to train cabin crew and pilots.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So I did that for about 3 years.
Mm.
And then that's where in now we got, was 2020.
Mm.
Literally, I asked for leave. I got leave. And then COVID hit.
Mm.
I never went back to work. And then we got retrenched.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Where does studying for law come in? Where did you then say, hey, let me?
So whilst I was there, because now you're like, okay, I can't just sit and not do anything.
Mm.
You know, you want to upgrade yourself. You want to do something. That's where I enrolled for my LLB.
After being retrenched?
No. During that period.
Okay.
Yeah, whilst I was still flying, that's where I decided to study.
And what led you to that decision? Did you have a conversation with someone who was an attorney or studying law? Or was this something that was always in the back of your mind from a young age?
It was something that was at the back of my mind.
Mm.
I think I saw my mom struggle. There's a lot of issues that she went through that, you know, needed legal assistance and
that
whatnot.
Makes sense.
And I really felt like, you know, I wish I could help.
Mm.
And when you're young, there's nothing that you can do. So you just want to be a part of a place wherein you are able to assist.
And give solutions.
Yeah, you are able to assist and bring solutions to people.
Mm.
So it was hard because now I'm studying, I'm working, and not only just working, I'm traveling. So everywhere, my bags used to be heavy all the time because now I'm carrying I have assignments and all
books,
of those things.
Books.
And books. Yes.
Yes.
I'm carrying books all the time. And I remember once, I think I've stretched it that time. I had an exam and my schedule was out. So I was going to, my exam date was going to be in the middle of, I was going to be in Beijing, China.
Mm.
Right? So I'm like, I'm not missing my flight. So I went to UNISA and I asked them if I can write.
Like a deferred?
No, I can write in Beijing.
Oh.
Because they have exam centers in different places, right?
Yes.
Different countries. So I'm like, and at that time, my supervisor was like, there's no way they'll agree. So my motto in life is you ask.
You ask.
Or the worst they can say is a no.
All right.
That one is my number one motto. You must never let just things and say, no, but I can't. Oh, no, if someone has not said no, then there's a possibility that they'll say yes.
Mm.
So I asked and they say yes, and I wrote the exam in DG.
Oh, I love it.
It was crazy though.
I hope you passed.
I did pass.
Good.
But I regretted it because the time difference threw me out completely. I was so tired. I was sitting in that exam and I was exhausted. But I'm like, you know what? Hey, we're here.
But you conquered.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. So I'm like, yeah, I wrote exam in Beijing.
I love that. Yeah. So then you you graduate. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How easy was it to find articles? What process did you follow?
Okay. So 2020, while we were going through the pandemic, I was doing my final year.
Mm.
The year before,
mm.
I was also at Bible College. Mm,
mm.
The year before I was at Bible College. And then I met and I became friends with one of the guys who's an attorney and he has his own firm.
Mm.
So I was very lucky because then he offered me. He's like, okay.
I told you jobs always find you. But not every time people are like, come. You are always in the right. You are always well positioned.
This is the first time that
you finally get to see who actually
putting it like that. But I was very lucky because then that. Yes. But you know what? We go through so many struggles. Sometimes God must just open doors,
right? Sometimes we do just deserve a break, yes, and absolutely. We do deserve a break.
Yeah.
So you then complete your articles and you decide that you want to start your own firm. Now, was this because you have an entrepreneurial spirit, or it was mainly because you were like, I'm too old to go and be, you know, a junior somewhere else, so let me rather just be my own boss?
It was a bit of both.
Mm.
It's not easy. It's firstly, I thought finding a job at my age is hard. People are like, yo, how old? Yo, you're a junior. And also,
ish.
I've had way in, someone said, so they look at your CV as well. They're like, oh no, I can't. I can't employ you. So I had that. You know, even when I was, at some point, I did apply for articles. And then, I mean, there was a firm that I knew someone had left. So I knew that position.
And they said there are no vacancies.
They did not even respond. And I was just like, but it makes no sense. And there I wrote, I have leadership skills. I have.
And all of that is important when, yes, for any job, you,
yes,
know?
No, I'm like, no. I mean, I not only know the law, but I know the business.
Maybe the people in the senior roles think that you will come and undermine their methods or something like that.
Yes, I don't know. It's silly.
It is silly because, yes, I know that there's a level of being able to yield, right?
Absolutely.
You know that where you're from, yes, you were a senior, but now the role requires you to be a junior.
Yes.
And you
submit.
And now you're actually a mature junior because you're, yes, not going to be coming late for work and saying, oh, so
causing havoc and
having a hangover possibly, or just, absolutely, you know, dropping the ball. You are now a mature junior. Yes. So if anything, you are an asset to the company. Yeah. Okay, so then you start your firm, and how has that experience been? How has it been? Got it? Just the whole transition from, you know, 16 years in one company, and now completely changing industries, and companies, and just everything, being your own boss. How has that been?
I actually call it my second career.
Because I like that. Because it doesn't mean that that other career does now,
no,
now doesn't exist.
Actually, I pay tribute to my previous career because I know that if I had been an attorney when I was young, I would not have been a great attorney because I was stubborn. I was just young, you know. Right now, with the years that I've spent, I understand customer service. I learned that how to listen, you know, to your clients, to your customers.
Sure.
You listen, you are compassion.
Mm.
You know, when you're dealing with divorce matters and other matters, there are matters that requires you to step aside from yourself and be present where you are without you thinking, billing, right? So it's taught me that. So it's actually made me into, I feel, that it has made me into a better person and a better attorney than I would have back in the day. So I'm in totally indebted to my first career.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
I think moving forward, I will be able to use those skills and, you know, soft skills that I acquired.
Soft skills are just interpersonal skills.
Yes, because now you need to know that people are not just
numbers,
and people are just going to just, I just want you to build, I just want you to build. You need to have a good relationship as well with your employees. I mean, I don't have anyone at the moment.
Yeah,
however,
but in the
are the things that, yes, in the future that I know what, as starting, it's like starting from the bottom. Now I know what I would have wanted my boss or whoever to be.
Yeah, you're at the bottom top. Like top, yeah. All right, I love that. And
yes.
And being relatively new in the profession, but also being, you know, mature enough to understand that there are things that work and things that don't work. Are there any pain points that you wish didn't exist or that you wish you can, or you'd like to see change in the legal profession? Even if it's just interaction with other colleagues, what would you change about the current landscape of the legal profession if you could?
If I could, candidates' attorneys should be paid better.
Oh. Where were you when I started?
No. Listen, I'm saying this because I complained right throughout my articles.
I can imagine. But now you were already fully blown Miss Independent.
And that's the challenge. Yeah. And I think with a lot of people that I worked with and whatever that I've met, the older you are, when you think of leaving and going to do articles, it's impossible because...
Sure. It's a major pay cut.
I have a house to pay. I have children.
You have everything.
I have everything. So there's no way. And I mean, I don't know. Can I say how much I was getting?
Yes.
I was getting 5,000. And at that point, I'm just like, my full tank is 1,300.
You were probably getting paid more as when you were at the cigar lounge.
Yes.
The tips from the cigar lounge were a lot more than. Yeah.
So it was hard because you're like, okay.
5,000.
Yes, 5,000. Yeah. My full tank is 1,300. So it's like,
so that's the one thing that you can change.
I think that's one thing that needs to change. I know that trying to have a basic or a standard. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there has to be something that there has to be. I don't know if it's government or if it should be the LPC.
Like a subsidy of
that
sorts.
That needs to subsidize properly.
Yeah.
That needs to subsidize properly. Subsidize the firms.
And make it worthwhile.
Is it they have what? Is it Sasita, right?
So I've heard, yes. I'm actually not too familiar.
But now here's my problem with that. Because their cutoff is 35 years. So if you're above 35, you can't apply. So what does that? Where does that leave us?
There's still some work to be done, eh, Robin?
No, absolutely. But apart from that, in terms of interpersonal, I think we need to respect one another as colleagues.
That's very important because I always say we are not fighting. Our clients are fighting.
Yes.
So you cannot possibly come to a meeting and not greet me.
It's not personal.
We are not fighting. Unless you and I were exes from varsity and you still have...
But then get over
that
it.
That problem, but get over it. I mean, so it's the weirdest thing ever when, you know, another legal practitioner walks into the room and they're just quiet. Like, okay.
Oh, but speak to you sideways.
You don't know where you're going to meet me tomorrow.
Thank you.
Our clients are both not here.
Yes.
And I'm going to remember that you didn't greet me. Sure. Yeah.
Or tomorrow you need me to step in for you.
Whatever.
It could be anything. I think we need to do better.
Yeah. And considering the numbers, just always on the side of knowing that this is a largely male and pale dominated industry. Mm-hmm. We need each other.
Absolutely.
We need to just be there for each other better.
And I think so far I've been lucky because I've created, I think as well, if you're female, create your own
community.
Create, you know, and don't be scared to ask.
I ask.
I ask.
You've been saying.
So if I don't know something, I should be able to say, Tibelo does A, B, and C. So, hey, can please, how do I that's how we all learn. No one woke up knowing the whole law and still know. I mean, you could be practicing for 50 years and you will still not know everything.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah,
sure.
So we need you, we really am passionate. We need to respect one another. Yes,
thank you so much for such a beautiful conversation and really an authentic account of your life and your experiences. Just in the little time that we have left, is there something that you'd like to say to somebody who's young out there or somebody who's just like, I want to be brave now and pursue the next chapter of my life? I'm feeling like, you know, I was so scared because I'm 35, I'm 40, I'm scared to take the leap. Any just words of motivation, any words of wisdom, or just really anything that you want to cover that I haven't asked, but you feel that this platform is the perfect place for you to just express those thoughts?
Okay. I would say, in a nutshell, I completed my degree at 41. I did my articles. What is it? Yeah. And now I got admitted last year. Today, actually, is my 1 year anniversary of
admission. Happy anniversary!
Thank you. And I got admitted at 44. There's nothing you can't do.
There's nothing you can't do.
And in the process, it doesn't matter what happens. You just get up. You try another day. I was once given an advice, and this person said to me, one day at a time, you wake up every day and you try. And then we see what happens.
You know, just whatever, as long as you keep on waking up above the ground, there's still an opportunity still to make things happen.
Yeah.
I love that.
And also there's a lot of, it could be a whole issue of, but, or maybe we can't get articles or unemployment issues and all of those things. Like I said, 18 months, I didn't have a job, but I didn't sit or I didn't allow myself to go back home wherein I knew that it would be
more limiting.
So you do whatever you need to do. You do. If it's waitressing, you get up, you go look for a job. If it means...
Don't despise small beginnings.
Yes, because you don't know. If I had not been at that restaurant selling cigars, I would never had been to all the
SAA
places.
For 16 years. Sure.
Yeah, and all the places that I've been to. So in every little thing, you just do your best. Regardless of, you know, sometimes there's also a pressure of my friends. And I think I didn't mention it. My friends were progressing at that time.
And you were watching them.
18 months. I had a friend who bought a property in Cape Town. No, hell. Okay, you could still buy then. You know, she bought a property, and I'm waking up.
You were watching
and,
your peers. Yes. Yeah. No, I
and
understand.
And the one day, these girls that I stayed in res with came for dinner at a restaurant, and they placed them in my section, so I had to serve them. So now you see, that day I felt rock bottom. I felt like, and then they acted like they don't know me.
Ugh.
So my heart.
Yes.
You see, so life will throw whatever it will throw at you.
Resilience.
You just need to get up every day.
Sure. Thank you so much.
It could be painful today, but tomorrow you're like, you know what? I'm here again. I try. You just keep trying and you never know. God will open. One day will open doors for you as well. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for this conversation.
Thank you for
Unfortunately, I do have to cut it off here. I know we can speak for another 30 minutes to an hour, but I'm gonna end it here for now and see you in a few years' time when you're doing your 5 years anniversary.
Yes, please.
And you have some candidate attorneys under your belt, some associates. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for the invite.
I think you can all agree with me that that was a beautiful conversation. Don't second guess it. Subscribe if you haven't already subscribed. Don't forget to like, share, and comment.